It's the longest chapter in Leviticus. And it gets a little tedious. The details are numerous. And you might read Leviticus chapter 13 and wonder why we need to know this. But God's got a reason for putting the things in that he does in his word. And as we know, the Old Testament is filled with shadows and pictures of things to come. You and I don't need to view this in a literal sense. There's spiritual significance to what we're going to look at here in chapter 13. And so we're going to look at it as it would apply to you and me, in hopes that we would know what to do next with ourselves. And so tonight's subject is leprosy, or maybe any other type of infectious skin disease, but the word in the Hebrew is actually plainly leprosy. And leprosy throughout the scriptures, beginning right here, is symbolic for sin. It is symbolic not just for specific sin, but also symbolic for iniquity. Iniquity is the thing that you and I are. It's our sinful flesh. It is our nature. It's the sin you and I were born with that we didn't have a choice in the matter. And so, yet when we look at leprosy, this iniquity of ours can become something that gets out of control. And that's what this leprosy speaks of. Now, before we get it, you know what? Let's pray now and then we'll get. Father, I want to thank you for bringing us here and thank you for your word. And I ask you to communicate to us the things that you want to communicate to us. And Lord, that we would understand the way you see things and that we would then come running to you, and that you would cleanse us, you would draw us close. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see sin the way you do, and that it is gross, it is disgusting, it's abominable. And Lord, once we see it that way, then give us the strength, give us the ability to turn and turn to you. So bless this time. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And so leprosy is symbolic for sin. And what's amazing about leprosy, what they call Hansen's disease. I don't know why, the doctor who finally just said, okay, this is what this leprosy thing is made of. His name was Hansen. And he decided to name leprosy after himself. Yeah, whatever floats your boat, buddy. So Hansen's disease, and we know we've read and we've seen, and Bridget and I have been to Molokai out there in Hawaii, where we saw the leper colony and all of that where actually there's a few lepers left there. But this leprosy thing, there was no known cure. It was very contagious. And so, like sin, leprosy begins small. It can start small, one little thing, and grow until it finally kills you. James chapter 1, verse 15 says, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Leprosy also damages your nerves, so you become numb. You can't feel your fingers, you can't feel everything. And people think that leprosy, why the fingers get lost and why all of that happens is because they're rotting. But leprosy, actually, it's not a rotting thing, it's a nerve disease. And so you hurt your fingers because you don't even know they're getting hurt. And the next thing you know, you're losing all kinds of digits and things. But so it damages your nerves so you can't feel. That's what sin does, by the way. Ephesians 4:19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's you just don't feel anymore. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, speaking of those who just can't feel anymore, says, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And so, and then as a result, parts of you fall off from abuse. And I think about, I think I shared this last Sunday night, just, you know, and I shared with my children that sin makes you lose stuff. And I, you know, I lived a life of dreadful sin for years, and boy, did I lose a lot of stuff. I lost a lot of stuff. And some of this stuff, you know, the Lord will restore it. And the Lord has restored everything and more to me, by the way. But many times, whatever you lose from sin may never come back. And I think it's important that we understand that. The eyesight is damaged. You've seen the pictures. You've seen the Discovery Channel. You've seen the thing and the big bug eyes and the, you know, of those who have this leprosy. The eyesight gets damaged because there's no ability to blink. They lose the ability to blink. And so their eyes don't get moistened. And we see in 2 Peter chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 2, it speaks of sin as a blindness. And so, and also there are forms of leprosy. They're, believe it or not, there are also forms of leprosy that are not contagious, but the contagious, most leprosy was contagious, and that's what sin is, very contagious. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And face it, if you've ever seen any TV specials on it, it's grotesque. It's not what you and I are used to looking at. When we see somebody who has leprosy, it is just the grossest looking thing you can imagine. And as Proverbs 29:27 says, an unjust man is an abomination to the righteous. You know, you ever just know somebody that they're just living their lives in sin and they're just destroying themselves, and it's like, oh, you know, oh, why do you do this to yourself? And yet you can be destroying yourself and you yourself can't see it. You don't even notice why. You can't feel, you can't see, you can't do anything. It's just, you're just caught up in it, and it looks a lot grosser than you think it does. And there is no known cure for it. And just as we know about sin, the wages of sin is death. Sin is terminal. That's it. And so, understand that you and I were all found by God as lepers. There's not anybody who was not found as a leper. And we were separated from him. And also, you're going to find that leprosy separates you from God and also separates you from God's people. Just what sin does. And so we're going to see, as we look at the physical leprosy, that some of the symptoms, some of the things you see, and we're going to look at that. We're going to relate it to sin tonight, which is kind of, I was looking over my old notes from years ago, and you know, I think that so often in the church today, we just don't address the sin problem. And I'm talking about the sin problem within ourselves. You and I have a keen eye for everybody else's sins. The church has a way of gathering around and just saying, oh, you know, being all Pharisaical, you know, just saying, you know, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like that guy or like that guy or like that guy. And we start to boast to God about how wonderful we are. And then we feign humility by saying, but God, I would not be so wonderful unless you had come into my life. And the fact is this, the Lord is still working in each one of us. God is still digging out filth. And if you and I are unwilling, as believers, now we're saved, we belong to the Lord, but if you and I are unwilling to see things the way he does in our own lives, why? Because we've signed the papers, we're good now. I don't want to talk about me anymore. Well, we're going to end up backslidden, we end up losing our senses. Always, always, always remember that the Lord is still working on you and on me. And I think the church would do so much better if we thought about our own sins I don't know, Jesus said something about a plank and a splinter in an eye, you know, something like that. Right? Anyway, okay, with that said, chapter 13, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on his skin, on the skin of his body, a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot. This is a fun chapter. And it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons, the priests. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the seventh day, and indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. And the priest shall examine him again on the seventh day, and indeed, if the sore has faded, and if the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees that the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. Okie dokie. Once the sore is visible, once you notice some sort of a sore, a problem, they're brought to the priest. By the way, the job of the priest, you know, you guys that would want to be the priest, you know, I don't think any of us would want to be the priest after what we've been reading. You know, they get the best clothing, they get this outfit that is beautiful and all of that, but remember, they're up to their necks in bull guts and ram guts and tearing birds apart and stuff like that, with all of this filth all over them all the time. And when they're not doing that, they're digging in people's sores. They're going, they're like, okay, look at that. Let me see. Bring it closer. Yep. Yep. Okay. You come back in 7 days. You go away for 7 days. Don't talk to anybody. 7 days, come back. And so you're always checking people's sores. This is understand something that this is really, the priest is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's just looking into every little problem of ours all the time. And he's got a solution, but we're going to get to that at the end of all of this. But and maybe you want to look at it as the priests being like some sort of a pastor, and certainly they were like pastors, and pastors definitely get to look into a lot of stuff that think, wow, stuff you don't want to look into. But there you are, dealing with it. Anyway, it was a tough job being a priest. So you bring it to the priest, but in our case, you and I, you bring this problem to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Something's wrong. And you're thinking, well, I don't know, maybe this isn't a big deal. Maybe it'll go away. I don't know if it's contagious or not, whatever. You bring it to the Lord. And if you happen to be a person, by the way, who notices on somebody else maybe a problem, maybe you saw somebody in the church that you thought was a really cool guy just, you know, speeding down Franklin Street at about 80 miles an hour. You know what? This doesn't mean he has leprosy. You don't know why he was speeding. All right, and this is so important that we would, in our minds, that we would quarantine people before we would pronounce them as big time sinners. Going to see if it's leprosy. Set him aside just in case it is. You get people contaminated. So be patient. Wait. And see, and if the condition worsens with a brother or a sister, then, you know, you can pronounce it as sin. And then at which point, you and I, by the way, what we do with this is, say, as Matthew chapter 18 states, that you and I would just, you know, pull up to a brother and say, hey, you know what? What's going on? And share, you know, what you're seeing and see if you could restore him, as it reads in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And so notice something, too, of what it is that determines it being leprosy. It's spreading and it's deeper than the skin. 10 times in this chapter we see deeper than the skin. And you see, when sin gets a hold of us, it's not just the stumbling or the tripping that is necessarily the problem, but it is the living, it is the like a stronghold, something in your heart, in your head that never goes away. That's beneath the skin. It's on the inside of you. And so that's a leprous problem. In verse 9, when the leprous sore is on a person, then he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the swelling on the skin is white, and it has turned the hair white, and there is a spot of raw flesh in the swelling, it is an old leprosy on the skin of his body. The priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. What he means, not isolate him, is you're not going to quarantine him anymore. He is unclean. And we're going to see later what they do with him, which is worse than quarantining. And so here, in the first section, if it's spread and if it is deeper than the skin, then it is found to be leprosy. But here, raw flesh. No question, no quarantine, this guy has got a serious problem. And you and I often see raw flesh in people's lives, don't we? And I would pray that anybody listening right now isn't dealing with raw flesh in your own life. And what I mean by that, well, even just the word flesh itself speaks of our nature. Talk about walking by the flesh or by the Spirit, living by the flesh or living by the Spirit. And Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 says, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it doesn't matter what bumper sticker you have on your car. If these are the things that you are practicing, that is what I would consider raw flesh. It's just right there before everybody to see. The whole world sees it, and you're thinking it's cool. Old leprosy. That's an old leprosy. That means it's been around a while, like a habit. As I said earlier, a stronghold. That whole idea of a stronghold is when is the enemy has you surrounded and you can't get out to save your life. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So this is not, you know, every case that I'm going to bring up, every scenario is not hopeless and helpless. But this is, you know, tonight we're going all diagnostic. All right? So don't sweat it. You get diagnosed here tonight, we'll know what to do with it. All right. But yeah, that's an old leprosy. You got raw flesh going on. You know, look at that list in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Look at that list and determine, Lord, is this me? Is this me? In verse 12, and if leprosy breaks out all over the skin and the leprosy covers all the skin of the one who has the sore from his head to his foot, wherever the priest looks, I mean, can you see that? It's all over him. And the priest shall consider. And indeed, if the leprosy has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean. What? Who has the sore? It has all turned white. He's clean. Oh, that's hard to understand. It would seem that this guy's got, well, obviously, one thing about this, it's white, it's dry, it's scaly. That's what the white is. It's a dry, scaly thing. And if it's all over the body and nothing is oozing, then it is probably something that is not contagious. Because when they talk about leprosy, it's all kind of skin disorders, not just specifically Hansen's disease. They make sodas too, right? And so obviously this was a type of a skin disorder that was not contagious. Evenly distributed all over the body, completely dry, saying, all right, you've got a problem, buddy, but you're not going to hurt anybody. So you're all right. You just look funny. And so verse 14, but when raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall examine the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is leprosy. Or if the raw flesh changes and turns white again, he shall come to the priest. You see, if it dries out. And the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the sore has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. Who has the sore? He's clean. And so that's where we see that the raw flesh is the problem. It's something that's oozing, something that's, you know, let's say it this way, that's it's alive. It's something that's flowing. And so is the case with sin. You know, somebody might have been wrapped up in sin so horribly, but repentance, going to the Lord, asking him for the strength to turn from it, and in walking with the Lord, hey, it's going to dry up. It's going to be, and you're going to be fine. But so raw flesh is the problem. And so we have raw flesh, deeper than the skin, and spreading. These are problems. Verse 18. If the body develops a boil in the skin, and it is healed, and in the place of the boil there comes a white swelling or a bright spot, reddish white, then it shall be shown to the priest. And if when the priest sees it, it indeed appears deeper than the skin, and its hair has turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It's a leprous sore which has broken out of the boil. But if the priest examines it, and indeed there are no white hairs in it, and it is not deeper than the skin, but has faded, then the priest shall isolate him 7 days. And if it should at all spread over the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. Back to that whole thing. If it's under the deeper than the skin, spreading, it's leprous. But if the bright spot stays in one place and has not spread, it is a scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Boils. Leprosy or any infectious skin disease could come from all kinds of sources, and one of them would be a boil. Boil, I don't even like the word boil. It's like just a big pimple, all right? It is just the big pus pocket on you. And painful, and should that heal, everything's good, but it could cause some lasting damage. There are certain things that could happen in the skin. Now, I'm going to get gross with you tonight. I think it's important because I think that, again, we need to understand just the grossness of sin. And there are different worms, different parasites and things that will actually get in your skin. When you go to the Amazon jungle, you're told, you know, you don't walk around in flip-flops or anything, but we do because we're fools. But you get in that water, you get a parasite, get in your skin. But there are these flies. Now, this isn't just in the Amazon, but I learned about this in Africa when I was in the Navy. The tsetse fly that actually will lay its eggs into your skin, and you get a little zit on your arm, and you just think it's a little zit or a bug bite or something, but it just grows and grows and grows. They would treat it in Africa in the Navy, the Corman, sorry for those of you who grossed out. Maybe I'm not sorry because I enjoy talking about this kind of stuff. I really do. There's this kind of a sickness with me. But they would actually, to determine if it was a tsetse fly, they would put Vaseline on it. Just put Vaseline on it, and then out of it would come a little maggot would come right out of your skin. Oh, yeah. And so there are things that can get on you that can cause some serious problems. And you know, they begin from something just like a worm or an irritation or like scabies. What's scabies? Isn't that little worms in your skin? That's, okay. Anyway, but stuff that gets under the skin. And the question is it going to spread? And the thing is, this kind of applies to you and me. If you will forgive me, tonight I'm going to get a little John Corson on you. Those of you who don't know who John Corson is, he's very, wow, I can't even describe him. You know what? This is like him. That this whole business of a boil, a pimple, a tsetse fly, or any little irritation that can come to you, it's either going to spread or it's going to heal. And this applies to us because you and I have to face minor irritations all the time. You and I sometimes, get bumped in one way or another. And the question is that irritation going to spread and cause sin, cause bitterness in you, make more pimples, right? Or as the irritation goes, say, in a oyster or an abalone, that irritation of that grain of sand creates a pearl. And you and I actually, I believe this with all my heart, you and I have a choice. For every little irritation that comes our way, if it's going to spread and we're going to be creeps about it, or turn it into something beautiful. Or if it just heals and we just never see it again, that's also good. So it is very possible for one little worm to get in you, and the next thing you know, pew, you're like Herod in Acts chapter 12, right? Who was eaten by worms and died. Yep. Anyway, all right. The Bible can be very gross. Verse 24, or if the body receives a burn on its skin by fire and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a bright spot, reddish white or white, then the priest shall examine it. And indeed, if the hair of the bright spot has turned white and it appears deeper than the skin, it's leprosy broken out in the burn. Therefore, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It's a leprous sore. But if the priest examines it and indeed there are no white hairs in the bright spot and is not deeper than the skin, but is faded, then the priest shall isolate him 7 days, and the priest shall examine him on the seventh day. And if it has at all spread over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It's a leprous sore. But if the bright spot stays in one place and is not spread on the skin, but has faded, it is a swelling from the burn. The priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is the scar from the burn. And you will get scarred every now and burns. Here we go, John Corson again. Have you ever been burned figuratively? Yes, every one of us has been burned. You know what? I've been a Christian for nearly 30 years, and I've been burned more by Christians since I've been saved than I ever got burned by unbelievers before I got saved. Now that's messed up. It ought not be. But because it is so messed up, we think that we ought to be better people, right? And as a result of thinking that, we kind of hold everybody to a higher standard. So it blindsides us whenever somebody in the church really wallops us. And you might get burned one way or another. Well, the answer is, hey, if you get burned, stop for a second. Go to the Lord and beg him for a heart of forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 12, 14 through 14 and 15, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. You get burned, you get bitter. I know people out there walking all over Fort Bragg, Mendocino, that said, oh, I used to go to church, but I don't go anymore. Well, why? Oh, they burned me. And you know what? They let that root of bitterness win. And they allowed that burn to become leprosy. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. But I'll tell you what, though, nothing exposes flesh like a good burn. Nothing will expose the sinfulness in your own heart like somebody just bumping you hard. And the real you comes to the surface and you're surprised, right? And remember what leprosy does. Takes away your sense of feeling, takes away your sight. You hurt yourself, you're not knowing it. And, you know, all from a little burn. And so I want to just encourage you, have you been burned by someone in the church? You know what? Forgive it. Release it. Get over it. You know what? Also, welcome to the club. Right? So stop thinking you're so special because somebody in the church got weird on you. But anyway, so you've been burned. Don't let it spread. And that's for your sake, and that's for the sake of the church as well. It doesn't have to become leprosy. In verse 29, if a man or a woman has a sore on the head or the beard, this is, did you check that? If a man or a woman has a sore on the head or the beard, all right, then the priest shall examine the sore, and indeed if it appears deeper than the skin, and there is the thin yellow hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a scaly leprosy of the head or beard. You notice that the hair in this thing turns white or turns yellow or something. That's just, you know, when the hair is discolored, that's evidence that there could be something underneath it. But if the priest examines the scaly sore, and indeed it does not appear deeper than the skin, and there's no black hair in it, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the scale 7 days. black hair, by the way, if there's black hair, that means there's health there. Okay, these are people from the Middle East. Their hair is dark. Now, I could be getting this leprosy all over my head right now. Anyway, and on the seventh day, the priest shall examine the sore, and indeed, if the scale has not spread and there's no yellow hair in it, the scale does not appear deeper than the skin, he shall shave himself, but the scale he shall not shave, and the priest shall isolate the one who has the scale another 7 days. This is a way so they can see it. They can, you know, they got to get in there. On the seventh day, the priest shall examine the scale, and indeed, if the scale has not spread over the skin and does not appear deeper than the skin, then this priest shall pronounce him clean. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. So it's not deeper, it's not spreading, so he's good. But if the scale should at all spread over the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the scale has spread over the skin, the priest need not seek for yellow hair. He is unclean. Doesn't need all the symptoms. He just, hey, if it's spreading, that's enough. Let's call him unclean, he's got leprosy. But if the scale appears to be at a standstill and there is black hair grown up in it, the scale has healed. He is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. And so leprosy can break out in hard-to-detect areas. But what happened, obviously, if it's on the head, it's hidden by the hair. And so as it's in a hard to detect area, there would be some evidence that might suggest there could be some leprosy in there, and that is the hair that starts to change color in a spot. It's coming out of some bad skin. And so it has to be checked out. These infections beneath the surface of what we can see. We might be able to compare this to hidden sins. And that's the thing. The sins in the privacy of your own home. The sins in the privacy of your own television set or your own computer. But like that patch of yellow, God's faithful. He'll bring it out. He'll bring it out. And remember, leprosy is contagious even when it is hidden. Think about that for a second. Leprosy is contagious even when it is hidden. Sin is contagious even when it is hidden. There's something that we don't believe this. I believe it with all my heart. And that is, well, the sin of Achan. We read in chapter 7 of Joshua, you know, God had instructed the Israelites not to take the accursed things from Jericho. And they said, good, we're not going to take the accursed things. But Achan saw it, and he had to have it. And so he took it, and he hid it. And then the next battle against Ai that Israel went into, they lost that battle. They weren't supposed to lose any battles ever. But they lost the battle, and Joshua's on his face before God. Oh, God, oh, please, why are you losing battles for us? You're supposed to win these battles. And God said to Joshua, get up! There's sin in the camp. Now, figure this out. Nobody knew there was sin in the camp. But there was failure in the battle. You see. Sin doesn't need to be exposed for it to bring about failure. And so, of course, then Achan was exposed and they did away with Achan and his family. The testimony of a couple of different pastors, this is horrible, but a friend of mine years and years ago, he felt this heaviness over the church, and there was something wrong. And the church was just small, and people were just kind of not getting along, and it was just kind of weird. And he prayed. He said, Lord, is there sin going on here somewhere? Lord, expose the sin. If there's sin, bring it to the surface. We don't want it here. And I'm telling you, within a couple of weeks, this is so disgusting. Within a couple of weeks, he learned that his assistant pastor was meeting a woman on the other side of town. But you see, while that sin was going on, nobody knew. But the Lord was not blessing what was going on. So, you know, your secret sins have an effect. You know, and sooner or later, they got a little patch of yellow, a little patch of white, whatever it is, saying, hey, what's that? And you do a little research and go, oh my goodness, that's what it is. Sin in the camp, it's a horrible thing. And not just, you know what, Achan in Joshua chapter 7, he wasn't leadership, he was just a guy. So it's not just a trip on leadership, it's a trip on the whole church. And so, actually we're not doing bad here. Verse 38, if a man or a woman has bright spots on the skin of the body, specifically white bright spots, Then the priest shall look, and indeed, if the bright spots on the skin of the body are dull white, it is a white spot that grows on the skin. He's clean. You got a white spot on there? It's just a white spot. Don't worry about it. Like, for instance, freckles are okay. Age spots. Remember, it's just got to be deeper than the skin. And we can compare this to the church today. Compare this to our, maybe there's somebody in the church, he's just got a rough exterior. Right? I'll tell you what, the church is a funny place. There's some guys that are just, and other guys that are just the sweetest little things ever. You know, and it's like all of these different types of people. That doesn't mean it's sin because he has a different type of a personality. You see something in him that, well, I wouldn't act that way. Well, that's because you're you and he's him. You know, and so what? He's got little white spots all over him. Big deal. Tell you what, these people can just look so horribly sinful. I got to do years and years and years ago, I did a motorcycle conference. These guys are all, you know, the bikers, man, coming to Jesus. You know, they change their hearts, but they don't change their clothes. And they got all kinds of, they got the tattoos all over the, you know, the bald guys, and they have tattoos on their heads, and they're just big, burly, scary-looking guys, and they got all their hair all over them. Still wear that vest, you know. And, you know, I'm at this thing, and I'm playing basketball with a bunch of these gnarly bikers. And you're thinking, gosh, you know what, these guys, I'm scared of them. I'm a little scared. He's going to hurt me. He's going to get mad and he's going to hurt me. That's all I was thinking. Because, you know, figuratively speaking, these guys got little white spots all over them. Anyway, we're playing and I had the ball and this guy took a swipe at the ball and missed, and I still have the scar. I'm not kidding you. There it is. He got me on the arm, just ripped a piece of my arm right out, and right under his finger. He took half of my arm out of his fingernail, and he put it, and you know what? He was all but on his knees before me in tears, begging me to forgive him. Now, on his knees, he was still taller than me, and he was like, he was just the scariest looking guy in the world, but you could see that his heart belonged to God. His heart was, it was the Lord's. And so, you know, don't go just thinking because somebody looks different or somebody carries themselves in a different way. Guys, that's not a problem. You know, and I know we get, you know, sometimes someone walk in here with a, you know, a whole body full of tattoo. There's more tattoo than there is skin. And I've, you know, there is a problem one time. Somebody told this, a young lady who had come in with a bunch of tattoos, why don't you wear long sleeves? You know, it's like, wow. Wow. Don't do that. Don't do that. Anyway, you got me rolling on something else. Let's get back to this. So, freckles are okay. Verse 40. As for the man whose hair has fallen from his head, he is bald, but he is clean. whose hair has fallen from his forehead, he's bald on the forehead, but he's clean. So don't sweat it. If your hair starts falling out, you know what? You're okay. That's okay. Oh, that is just too, you know, you guys worried about that. You guys have lost your hair. You're clean. You're clean. I was going to make eye contact with some of y'all guys. I decided I'm not going to. I'm back. Put your face back in the Bible. Let's go to verse 42. And if there is on the bald head or bald forehead a reddish-white sore, it is leprosy breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall examine it. And indeed, if the swelling of the sore is reddish white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, as the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. So, you know, that's a visible, you know, it's a visible thing. Just like, you know, you and me, you might see somebody and think, oh, he might have a problem. You don't know if anybody's got a problem until it is absolutely evident. And it's just right there in front of you. And so, but, you know, God's just making that distinction, saying it's not a sin to be bald. Anyway, verse 45. Now, the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. All right. This business of tearing the clothes and uncovering the head is all about mourning. These are the things that you do when someone has died. And they would call, actually, leprosy the living death. Because you may as well be dead. Why? Because you're unclean, so you cannot have fellowship with God. And you cannot have fellowship with God's people. You are sent outside the camp. This business of covering the lip or putting your hand over the mustache and crying out unclean, this is a sign of shame. You know, don't look at me, don't look at me. They're to dwell alone. Now, the lepers would actually form leper communities. If you're going to be alone, let's be alone together, kind of a thing. Because my leprosy is not going to affect your leprosy. We're just going to be lepers together. And you know, I started thinking about, now whether or not this was God's intention that they would be lepers together or they were to be separate from each other, it doesn't really say. If you take this at its word, then they were supposed to be alone. But they were already separated from God, so what do they have to lose by hanging out with each other? And I think that this is what we see in the world today. We see the different little colonies of lepers, the different types of sinners who hang out in their comfort groups. You know, the drunks feel most comfortable with drunks. Dope smokers feel most comfortable with dope smokers. So forth and so on. And then they form their little communities. This is just our nature. We will, you know, the old birds of a feather thing. And who you hang with is who you are. And so we know that they did. Now, we know scripturally that they did hang out together. 2 Kings chapter 7 is when we meet four lepers while the Syrians were sieging the city. And four lepers were just saying, well, we're going to die. And we may as well, we can't. I know we're not supposed to go in the city, I know we're supposed to go, and we're not supposed to do anything, but you know what, we're going to die anyway. So we may as well go, let's go check out with the Syrians, see if they've got anything for us, see if we can, you know, get some food for them. They'll either kill us, or we'll die of starvation. So might as well gamble. And anyway, it's a long story, but God used the four lepers to defeat the Syrians. And it's a great story. Get to 2 Kings chapter 7 on your own, and it's kind of fun. But why did they have to go away? Well, the whole quarantine thing and then, of course, keeping them out, this was to protect God's people from infection. If a healthy person drinks from the same cup as a sick person, will the sick person be made healthy? No. It is the other way around. God, speaking through Haggai in chapter 2, verse 11 through 13 of Haggai, says, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil or any food, will it become holy? And the priest answered, no, And Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? And the priest answered, yes, it shall be unclean. It's like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah, and Haggai was making that same point. It's just that dirty things make clean things dirty, but clean things can't make dirty things clean. And it's just a fact of life. Just like two children left to themselves. Do you realize if you put one good child with one bad child in a room together for a week, you're not going to come out with two good kids. You will see two horrible children. It is the way it is, the way it works. And so God is removing that bad influence away from his people so that they can flourish. And today it's such a weird thing. For the handful of people that are like having the biggest problems, we coddle them and the rest of society has to deal with it. But in all reality, you know, if somebody is sick, somebody is a menace to society, that person needs to be taken out. But instead, then the whole world becomes a menace. And so let's finish this up. So, by the way, this looks pretty hopeless for the poor leper, doesn't it? I mean, this is all there is to it. It was a horrible, horrible situation, and there's no known cure, as you had heard me say earlier, and so they're just lost. Verse 47. Also, if a garment has a leprous plague in it, whether it's woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it is in the warp or woof of linen or wool, whether in leather or in anything made of leather, and if the plague is greenish or reddish in the garment or in the leather, whether the warp or in the woof or in anything made of leather, it is a leprous plague and shall be shown to the priest. You got some kind of a mold or something on, you know, on a piece of material or on a wall or anything like this. This is what we're talking about. The priest shall examine the plague and isolate that which has the plague 7 days, and he shall examine the plague on the seventh day. If the plague has spread in the garment, either in the warp or the woof, by the way, the warp and the woof, that's, I don't know if it's this way and that way or it's that way and this way. That's all it is. It's that's how that works. Those of you who weave. In leather or made anything leather, plague is an act of leprosy. It is unclean. Verse 52, he shall therefore burn that garment in which is the plague, whether warp or woof, in wool or in linen or anything leather, for it is an act of leprosy. The garment shall be burned in the fire. Whew. But if the priest examines it, and indeed the plague has not spread in the garment, either in the warp or the woof, or in anything made of leather, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing in which is the plague, and he shall isolate it another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine the plague after it has been washed, and indeed if the plague has not changed its color, though the plague has not spread, it is unclean, and you shall burn it in the fire. It continues eating away whether the damage is outside or inside. If the priest examines it, and indeed the plague has faded after washing it, then he shall tear it out of the garment, whether out of the warp or the woof or out of the leather. But if it appears again in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything made of leather, it is a spreading plague. You shall burn with fire that which is in the plague. And if you wash the garment, either warp or woof, and whatever is made of leather, if the plague has disappeared from it, then it shall be washed a second time and it shall be clean. This is the law of the leprous plague in a garment of wool or linen, either in the warp or the woof, or in anything made of leather, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. Woo! So it could be a fungus, it could be a growth. You wash it, or you could tear it out, or you burn it. If it is just spreading, you just set it on fire. The fact is that inanimate objects can cause disease just in the physical world, material world. I think we know that. We live in Fort Bragg, this thing called black mold, you see, you know, and then people breathing that stuff in, and it's like poison. And so some of these houses in Fort Bragg just need to be burnt down. and just to protect our health. And that was really the deal with them. But it is still a picture of sin and how sin can actually reside somehow in an inanimate object. But what we do with that inanimate object will determine whether or not it needs to be washed, cut out, or burned. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 that if your right hand causes you to sin, right? Chop that baby off. And so you might have a computer problem. All right. You wash it, or you tear it out, or you burn it. Do what you need to do. Guys, there are programs you can put on it if you're having trouble. There are different things you can do. So, think about these things. This is something that I'm hearing is way more prevalent than we're letting on. Needs to be dealt with. Your televisions. You know, hey, wash it, tear it out, or burn it. Do what you need to do. It could be something else. I mean, you know, it could be, who knows? It could be your car. What you do with your car, you know. Again, if you're that guy running up and down Franklin Street at 80 miles an hour, you know, it's time for you to, you know what, sell it and buy something else, but not a car. Buy a walker and just go around like this. This is probably the best for you. This whole chapter is diagnostic. And we began it all with there's no cure. But what's wonderful is the next chapter, and we're going to do it next week, but the next chapter, God makes provision for the miraculous. Should a miracle occur, which would be God's hand anyway, then they were to take themselves to the priest and they would go in for the cleansing, but also we're going to see a ritual that is going to blow your mind. Should you tonight find yourself to be leprous? Maybe you've lost your sense of wrong and right. Maybe what felt like sin 2 years ago doesn't feel as much like sin today. You're losing your sight, trying to figure out why you keep getting hurt. You're wondering, how is this happening? I mean, think about that. As I said earlier, it was me before the Lord Jesus saved me. I lived for the satisfaction of my flesh. That was it. Gosh, you know, just thinking about this. Lately, can I confess sin to you right now? Pastor's going to confess sin. I've got 2 weeks on me. Maybe not even 2 weeks. Maybe it's only been 8 or 9 days, but may as well be. You know, I've been eating like a pig. No, I mean like clinical. It's all these, like anything that's got donuts or jelly in it, any jelly donuts, any candy. You know what I found in the refrigerator back there? There's bags of candy. And even today, and I'm going to say that for 3 days in a row, 3 days in a row, I'm going, okay, Lord, you know what? I have not been like Mr. Glutton Man for a while. I've been doing really good. But for the last week or so, it's like something within me that just says, feed the flesh, feed the flesh. What's that? What's that? Like a baby, like a one-year-old. Oh, I don't care what it is. And, you know, it is amazing. And it's like, but anyway, so Lord and I have been talking about it. Now I laid it all out for you. But why am I saying this? Okay, so I'm dealing with this. you know, that was my life completely in every form, not just like hitting up those Reese's peanut butter cups, but hitting up everything else that the world had to offer. That's all I cared about. Satisfying myself however I could, scratching whatever itched, whatever it took to scratch it, no matter what I lost doing it. That was how I lived. And through irritations and through burns and all of that stuff, I just got worse and worse. And then the Lord found me. And he changed me. He washed me. Gave me a new heart. Turned me into a different person. Now, if you're not a believer here tonight, I want to encourage you to go to the Lord. He'll make you a new person. And if you are a believer, maybe he's just struggling with something. It's not yet beneath the skin. Maybe it is beneath the skin. Got good news. In Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42, and we'll close with this. Now, a leper came to him. This is, by the way, about 1,400 years after this Leviticus was written. It says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, that is Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. I talk about when when a clean thing touches a dirty thing, clean thing gets dirty. There's only one clean thing that can touch dirty things and make them clean. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus touched lepers. And every leper he touched was changed. And I stand here as that leper. And every Christian in this room, we've got that testimony. We were that leper, and the Lord touched us and made us different, cleaned us. Something interesting about leprosy in the Word of God, nobody was ever healed of leprosy. They were always cleansed of it. As you and I will carry this sin around with us until we're dead, and we have it cleansed. But the sin is not completely healed until we're with him forever. Father, we praise you. We thank you so much. Thank you for loving gross lepers. And Lord, I pray that as we would even as we sang tonight, search us, know our hearts, try us, know our anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. Lord, help us to sit under your diagnostics, that your church would be clean, that we would be pure, that you would convict us, convince us, and give us a love for you and an understanding of your love for us that would cause us to turn from sin and turn to you, that you would be glorified. We love you. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.